Hey, this is Brian Oak, and hopefully you've been enjoying the Do You Remember podcast, the five-part series chronicling the earliest days of Husker Du, their formation, their career, and ultimately their, well, rather explosive breakup, but their lasting legacy as well. And it's all to coincide with this amazing new release out of Chicago by the Numero Group called Savage Young Du. And that chronicles some early outtakes and the earliest days of the band Husker Du, often thought of as a strict hardcore band, but really went all over the map. And even amidst the fury and the noise, they never lost sight of the melody. Well, we've talked to a lot of different people about the legacy of Husker Du, and I'm excited. I've never had a chance to talk with our next guest, who is apparently a lifelong fan of Husker Du, Mr. Fred Armisen. Fred, how are you today?
How are you? Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, my pleasure. I'm doing very well. Thank you. And as you and I discussed right before we got going here, I think both of us could talk about Husker Du all the time. So let's start at the beginning. I know that you started out as a musician before, you know, Saturday Night Live and with Portlandia and all the other things you've done. When do you first remember hearing Husker Du?
I was in college at the School of Visual Arts in New York, and this must have been 84, 85. And there was someone who lived at the dorms who was really into Husker Du. And I got into their music a little bit after that, and I never had a chance to see them. But I was in the hardcore scene, or I was in a hardcore band for a little while, and I really liked all kinds of punk. But American punk or American hardcore, I remember as being like a little scary to me because I was in New York City, and there was like a little unmelodic for me. You know, I liked being around it, but I was intimidated by it. And I just remember that Husker Du was the first time it sounded a lot more positive to me. Just these open chords, these guitar chords that were almost like folky or something. And I loved how they sang. I just loved their voices. So over the course of a couple of years, just really, really got into them.
Yeah, well, and there's a lot to get into because, as this new box set points out, you know, early on, yes, they did. I mean, they did Landspeed Record, which is one of the most savage hardcore records in the history of American hardcore. But, you know, like Grant Hart, the drummer, one of the primary songwriters, he was kind of a groovy, folky hippie, you know. He wanted to cover Donovan. They covered Sunshine Superman. And, you know, so they could get sort of dark and emo, but there was always this strong sense of melody. Did you feel kind of like maybe you were a little bit of a loner, like for some reason Husker Du should have been a lot bigger than they were? And were you ever like, why don't more people worship this band?
Well, it depends on how you look at it. I was, you know, in New York and Long Island, and to me they were huge. Like every time I got to see them, or when they played in town, they played big venues. So I think what happened was I got into them after all their hardcore stuff, after Landspeed Record and all that. So to me and my friends, they were tremendous. And also because they were from Minneapolis, that made them even more exotic. Like, whoa, who is this band from Minneapolis? You know, and they're going to be on tour soon. I also remember reading interviews with them. I remember there was one interview with Bob where he mentioned that he liked the Mamas and the Papas. And that to me, you know, as a teenager, was like, wow, it's so great to be honest and to open up, you know, what your influences are. And I think like a lot of punks, by the way, I was a Beatles fan still. Like I was like all about like Paul McCartney, and I still loved punk. I liked the both, you know, like Beatles and punk. So to me, Husker Du was like a mix of that, which is what I think punk should be, is like welcoming to all different kinds of music. So to me, they were tremendous. They were like a huge famous band. Just the fact that they had records out was mind-boggling to me. You know, I was always starstruck by any band that had records out.
Yeah, well, I mean, the fact that they were on a major label as well. Hey, we're talking to Fred Armisen right now, actor, musician, comedian, and unrepentant fan of Husker Du, which is why we're talking today. I think one of the things that made Husker Du feel so real, in addition to the quality of their music, was that to look at them, this didn't look like a rock band. I mean, not even like a punk rock band. Punk rock bands, a lot of them were playing dress-up, or they had a certain code or a certain style. And these guys, they played mismatched instruments, and they wore kind of everyday street clothes that didn't say we're a punk rock band at all. Did that sort of lack of style or lack of like sort of being iconoclast, did that have any appeal for you?
Yes, because that to me is what many punks see as like the real punk. Like if you can look like that, I think that is the whole idea behind it, is that you're supposed to look like your own version of what a person is. So they accomplished it, and it's aged really well. You look back at the old pictures, and it still looks great. I think the Minutemen did it. A lot of SST bands, Meat Puppets to it in a certain extent. And then even later, Dinosaur Jr., who didn't exactly look like a punk band, to me is like an absolute punk band. So because they wore what they did, I was like, that is exactly what a true punk band is.
Did you find yourself gravitating towards labels like that, like exploring the whole SST thing?
Oh, my God. I loved SST. I still do. That logo, it still gives me like a feeling. And it's probably like the most proud of being a punk that I am is like the connection to SST. Because what a perfect label of like aesthetics and music. I loved where they were from, you know, like sort of California seemed really like sort of a million miles away, you know?
Mm-hmm. I grew up in suburban Minneapolis, you know, so for me it was like, this is dangerous and I shouldn't be buying this, but it smells funny in this record shop and I'm absolutely spending $8 on this Black Flag 12-inch.
Yeah, and there's also a sense of humor in it. Like, because there was like some sort of sense of comedy, it just lightens up the whole thing, you know? A lot of stuff can be so serious. SST had like just the right amount of, you know, this should be fun.
Exactly. We're talking to Fred Armisen here about Husker Du. Savage Young Du is the name of the new release from Numero Group. And Do You Remember is the name of the podcast made here from The Current from Minnesota Public Radio, which you can find at thecurrent.org. You know, you look back on Husker Du, obviously on people like you, people like myself, a huge impact, an indelible impact. But they also sort of would go on to affect, I think, more than just about any other 80s heavy band or hardcore band, although they're much more than that, their legacy would be more lasting and I think can still be felt today. What do you think the legacy of a band like Husker Du is?
Well, Billy Joe Armstrong is very open about how if it wasn't for Husker Du, they wouldn't have put a band together. He, you know, that's like, I think, the first bridge of trio, bass, drums, guitar, melodies that are in that sort of, it's so hard to describe what kind of a melody that is, because I don't want to sound like I come from like a rock magazine, you know?
Right.
So it's so hard to describe it. I'll say pop melodies. I'll say like pop melodies that are simplified, short songs. Husker Du had a real depth to them. They had a real dark side to their music too. But I think that's the first link. And, you know, that's already a couple decades ago. But I'd say Green Day is the beginning of that, mm-hmm. you know, opening that up. I'm sure Nirvana is the same. And there are just so many bands from that time that I think were affected like that. I just got to say very openly that I really do love Husker Du so much. Like, it's easy to say that, like, oh, man, I love Husker Du. But I'm telling you that, like, I think about them all the time. I love them so much. I was so into them. I still listen to them. I feel lucky that I got to meet Bob. And way back in the day, I met those guys, like, you know, backstage at the Ritz, I remember. I got to meet Grant and Greg. And you coming from Minneapolis, I can't believe that city. What happened to you guys? That I don't understand how, like, to me, it's like a version of Liverpool. Where, how on planet Earth did you guys make all those bands? And I'm going to include, I just saw Arc Welder mentioned in something.
Athens was going through a similar thing in the 80s. And I always say that what we were doing in Minneapolis in the 80s, we were sort of Seattle before Seattle became Seattle, late 80s into the early 90s, sort of passed the baton over there where suddenly there's this sort of critical mass. And so I wish I knew the answer to your question, but that crucible of the music of the 80s of here in Minneapolis, I also still like it because even to this day, you obviously are an enlightened individual, but a lot of people who spend a lot of time on the coast, even if they're aware of Minneapolis, some of the legacy of Minneapolis, I think that culturally there's still a lot of conception that it's a little bit of flyover country. Maybe Chicago's okay, but Minneapolis, unless you've been here, unless you've delved into what's happened here and what continues to happen here, I think a lot of people underestimate the cultural impact of what's happening here.
Yeah, I don't know. It's I spent some time in Chicago, and I remember that there was always like a respect for Minneapolis. Maybe it's just because it's like north. I think something about cities that are north of whatever place you are always seems sort of like enlightened, or just something about it seems like there's something going on. But a flyover, I can't tell. I just have so much respect for it that I never had a chance to think of it that way. It also, because of the way it looks, it just looks kind of like somewhat like Legoland or futuristic or something, you know, with all these highways and stuff. And I love that it's in such a cold place. That makes it even more special. Iceland, Reykjavik has a lot of those qualities too, where you're like, what is going on up there, you know?
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Well, it has been great to talk to you. And I got to be honest, man, like just as a personal aside, when I bought Zen Arcade in 1984, I had no context. Nothing had prepped me for anything that was like that ever before. And so it literally, I can only say it about maybe one other album, it literally changed my life. So to talk to someone who is so effusive and so enthusiastic about a band that is central to my core and my head and the very person I've become today, it's really, really great to talk with you, Fred, about Husker Du.
Oh, and you too. And I'm so happy you guys did this and are doing this. It's such a cool thing. I don't even need to explain to you why it's great, but I'm just telling you as a listener, I really appreciate it.
Fabulous. Well, Fred Armisen, thank you very much for your time. And on behalf of Husker Du, thanks for your lifelong fandom, man. Be well, okay?
Okay, you too.
All right, thank you very much. That is Fred Armisen right there. Very famous actor, musician, comedian, and it warms my heart to say a huge, deep, real, and true Husker Du fan. Don't forget, Savage Young Du out on the Numero Group, chronicling the early days of the band. And over at thecurrent.org, you can find a link to the amazing 5-part podcast, Do You Remember? Long interviews with each member of the band, as well as many different people like Henry Rollins, like Lori Barbero, who were all involved in the early days throughout their career, and a lot of people talking about the lasting legacy of Husker Du. Again, you'll find a link to that podcast, Do You Remember, over at thecurrent.org.